Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has a new podcast every 2 weeks with up-to-date information about aviation technologies for general aviation. From home to cockpit to personal tech, Plain Talk provides information for pilots and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 1,800 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week, and over 30 years experience in the technology and aviation industries.
So this is Plain Talk here at AirVenture. We're in the Airbus pavilion with Jeffrey Bauer, chief engineer. And we're here talking about a cool new Airbus product, a UAM, codename Vahana. Jeffrey, welcome to Plain Talk.
Thank you.
So tell us all about this cool new proof of concept demonstrator in the air, ready to go, and I'll be delighted to sit in the back seat with you.
Sounds good. So I work on a project called Vahana, which is one of two electric VTOL demonstrators that Airbus is building to learn about electrification and autonomy for the UAM market. So Vahana is a single-seat tilt-wing configuration that takes off vertically and then transitions to cruise flight efficiently.
Neat. And must have been quite the technology journey. Is it certified yet?
It is certified as under a special airworthiness certificate experimental. So it's only, we flight test on a designated UAS test range by the FAA in Oregon.
Wow. And are you a pilot, Jeff?
I'm not a pilot, actually. Well, sort of. I've actually flown a human-powered airplane before and taken some lessons, but never don't have a license.
Yet. But living the dream. And I was curious if not only were you the chief engineer on the project, but also the chief test pilot.
So the airplane flies only unmanned, we do have a pilot in a ground control station. However, the flights are almost completely automated to follow a pre-planned trajectory. The main interaction from the pilot is to press a single button to tell the vehicle to take off and begin executing that trajectory. The only other inputs that they have the ability to give are to tell the vehicle to return home or land immediately if something were to go wrong.
Amazing. So is this essentially talking to cloud Airbus backend, or is it completely autonomous?
We like to call it self-piloted, so it's not talking to the cloud. It's really a flight test vehicle that sends engineering data to a ground control station for engineers to monitor. These are all test flights, so we're really trying to learn a lot about the vehicle, how it behaves, and improve it in the future.
What have you found out so far?
So far, it's flying wonderfully. We've conducted over 80 test flights to date, including full transitions from hover to cruise flight, and we're currently continuing to expand the flight test envelope.
So, Jeff, when do you think that Vahana is going to be ready for prime time?
So Vahana is only a demonstrator, so we don't intend to ever certify or produce Vahana. Airbus actually has two eVTOL demonstrators. There's another one called City Airbus that's being developed in Europe. And actually, recently, we've started working together with the team from City Airbus to define a future product that we expect to be available sometime in the mid-2020s.
Wow, so that's pretty cool. So mid-2020s, I can avoid my pesky, 1.5 hour commute to go 20 kilometers in the greater Toronto area. And
that's the intent.
Turn that into a 5-minute stress-free, enjoy life experience.
Yep, that's what we're trying to do in the Airbus Urban Mobility Unit, is improve people's lives and connect people more efficiently and more quickly.
So do you see a day where there'll be, more UAMs than cars?
Probably not. I think that's going to be difficult to achieve, maybe in the very, very long future. This will just be yet another transportation choice in, let's say, the next 10 years or so. But it would be very difficult to replace all ground traffic. It's just one part of a solution.
Sure. So I'm kind of, you know, curious, because I certainly I'm all in to changing the paradigm. It seems like Airbus is as well. As a, you know, OEM manufacturer, do you see that your customers effectively will be the Ubers and the Lyfts of the world?
So Airbus is approaching this problem holistically, looking at all of the pillars that are required to make UAM possible today. So to that effect, we have a team looking at city infrastructure or city integration and infrastructure, so the vertiports that these vehicles would operate from and where they should be located within cities. We have a team working on unmanned traffic management. So how you air traffic management for drones and in the future UAM type vehicles. So we also have there's an Airbus company called Voom that today is operating on-demand helicopters in two cities in the world. So if you go to Sao Paulo in Brazil or Mexico City, today, you, using the Voom app, you can book a helicopter flight, for instance, from the airport to the city center. And that'll be launching in a couple more cities this year, including one in the U.S.
Is there a fourth pillar?
The fourth pillar is, of course, the vehicles themselves. Yeah, so for sure, cybersecurity and security in general are things we take very seriously and work hard on. We work closely with the regulators on these, both physical security of systems on the ground and in the aircraft, and then, of course, securing data links and access to critical systems on board the vehicle.
In the development program, Jeff, what was the biggest challenge or hurdle you faced?
So for these UAM-type vehicles that transition from hover to cruise flight, a lot of the aerodynamic interactions are very complex and difficult to predict. So early on in the design process, it's hard to have a lot of confidence in some of the performance values. It's really a lack of tools that enable us to accurately estimate the performance in some of the more difficult flight regimes. In cruise flight, it's pretty easy. In hover, it's pretty easy. It's in between that it's difficult. So we've put a lot of effort into that.
Did you guys ever think that maybe alpha test bed might have been a Harrier jump jet that kind of is doing the same thing, but with missiles and guns on it?
No, so one of the keys for these vehicles that's going to really enable public acceptance in major cities around the world is electrification. So we've limited ourselves in our energy source to battery electric. So with batteries, you have a much less energy available per unit mass compared to hydrocarbon fuels and engines. You're also more efficient, you eliminate local emissions, but it really becomes an energy challenge. So there's a need to have a balance between cruise efficiency and hover efficiency. And for hover efficiency, you need a large disk area. So a jet does not make a lot of sense if you're trying to conserve energy.
Is Airbus collaborating or looking at advancements in battery technology to facilitate this paradigm shift?
For sure. We continuously monitor new entrants in the battery field. It's important across the Airbus line. We use batteries. There's batteries in commercial aircraft. There's batteries in helicopters and satellites. So we're constantly looking at these technologies. I will say that Vana, we're flying today with consumer-grade batteries that exist in automotive, and we're able to achieve interesting missions with that technology. However, with newer technologies, the performance of these aircraft will only improve.
I'd like to welcome to into the conversation Barton Greer. Barton is one of Airbus's lead corporate communications folks, kind of living the dream at Airbus.
A moment ago, you asked a question about alternate propulsion sources, battery power. Electric aircraft, Airbus has a very, very long history in development of electric aircraft. We have the history-making EFAN, which only a few short years ago made history by flying across the English Channel fully electric aircraft under its own power, flight time of just about an hour. Now, within that, though, we learned lots of lessons about getting increased range out of various configurations of power plant based on lithium ion and other battery sources. So at this point, we have various approaches to hybrid power, which we are looking to advance over a range of prototypes. So for us, aircraft like the Vahana are helping us enhance our baseline knowledge of what we can do with this type of power source.
Well, that's really, really, really cool. And I suppose as the tech starts to evolve, as it really has since the, you know, the mm-hmm. Wright brothers, it's only going to get bigger, better, faster, further. Certainly, I grew up in the age of Apollo, and when we all were, as kids, looking at the way that the Jetsons traveled to and from work and friends and family, and it really seems that Airbus is helping to transition transition the world into a Jetson family paradigm.
You know, you're spot on with that. In many instances, things that a decade ago thought might not be possible are everyday occurrences here. And the Vahana is a prime example of that. I'm going to let Jeff speak more to that. But literally, within Airbus, innovation is in our DNA. And we are rock solid committed to being an innovation leader on a global scale.
Very cool. Welcome back, Jeff. We just passed the mic. Any thoughts?
Nothing really to add. I think Bart put it well.
So, Jeff, what do you think's as we get past the development stage, what's in the horizon for you?
Yeah, so the next step is to really work on this future production vehicle together with our colleagues in Europe to define the future of urban mobility.
Well, thank you so much for being part of Plane Talk and helping to paint the picture for our listeners about the future.
All right, no problem. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at plaintalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at plaintalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.